Welcome back into the David L. Gray Show, off code and unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. Glad to have you here for this awesome show. I got Father Stephen Imbrato here. We have a great discussion about, you know, one of the things that you guys, what should I say, that you guys have been patient with me probably about for the last 6 months or so, about this thing that I've been on about what I call, who I call Rad Trad Inc. and their machinations to pit Catholics against one another, to push these liturgy wars, these liturgical wars, to always find something, something always negative to really make some sort of noise about what Pope Francis is doing. And what it ends up doing is really causing a lot of people either to lose their faith altogether or become set of a conscience. They really don't seem to be helping people really pursue the life of holiness. They want us to be caught up in politics, Vatican politics, the things that really don't help us. Again, pitting one Catholic against another. And it happened again, right? I know some of you sometimes have seen a comment box, oh, David, there you go with Rad Trad Inc. again. And some of you don't like that. Don't think I make clear distinctions between Rad Trad Inc., you know, the Marxist outfit, who I call the Marxists because they're really just trying to make people victims. And some of you don't like, sometimes I don't make clear distinctions between that group of people versus just people who love the traditional Latin Mass. And I get it, but I think I have. I think, again, I've been talking about this for quite a while. And I openly admit that I think at some point in time, I was part of that conglomerate, a Rad Trad Inc. I spoke at their conferences. I was on their blogs and their vlogs. I was their friend, right? And until I woke up, it was with the whole Catholic Identity Conference thing. And they started talking about recognize and resist. And I immediately really saw the error in that because they didn't set parameters. They didn't set limits. Recognize, resist for how long? What can we resist? What can we not resist? And so I knew there was going to be a problem there with recognize and resist, right? And sure enough, it happened. Next thing you know, there was a priest saying, we got to kill the Pope, put a millstone around his neck. And they were just really going too far again because they didn't set limits. And this is what happens when you remove yourself from the magisterium and you set up your own magisterium, you set up your own popes and everything like that. So that's been my critique ever since, you know, I removed myself from promoting their causes. So I guess the kind of work I've been doing then has been a work of reparation for some of the things I've done, maybe causing people to really doubt what's true, right? And I think our faith is really basic, at least basic for me, at least what I try to emphasize through my work of writing about the liturgy and Catholic history. I just want people to live just a sacramental life. That's it. I just want people to trust in the sacraments. I don't want you to make things too complicated. I don't want you to get caught up in all the intrigues and sexy stories. And I just want you to keep your faith simple because I think that's what the saints have always done. Even when I'm talking about Freemasonry, from my perspective, having been a Freemason for 10 years and then has been the last, again, a work of reparation the last 13 years, really teaching Catholics about what Freemasonry actually is and leading Freemasons who are in so-called Catholics who aren't Freemason, trying to lead them out. Again, I just want to keep it basic. This is what the church teaches. This is why you cannot be a Catholic and a Freemason. So I don't get caught up in all the other stuff, the stories and the history, you know, because I think there's enough people in our church who are making enough money, leading you down rabbit holes that do not help you. Right. So can I kick the, you know, on my Facebook page today, there was a one lady said, David, the horse is dead. There you go, kicking that dead horse again. And I told her, I wish it was dead. I wish it was. I wish I didn't have to talk about this. But it seems like every month, Rad Trad Inc. is always up to something new that demands a comment. It is necessary to make a comment just because there aren't a lot of people out there, I think, who are really calling these guys on their bull crap, right? They have, and I think when we don't call people on their bull crap, is when we give them safe space to operate. We become like the Palestinians allowing Hamas just to live amongst us. And we know who they are. We know what they're about. And we shouldn't give them safe space because they aren't being helpful. So I got a guest on today. Again, Father Stephen Imbrato. And this is a critique, actually, I heard first from him. I didn't even know this whole thing happened. So what happened? Well, as you know, there's a whole Eucharistic revival that had been really taking place for the whole year. It started 3 years ago. We've seen 3 years ago, I commented on this, like they said it's going to cost like $60 million or something crazy. And I was like, what? And I distrusted the whole thing from that very moment, because it seemed to me like they were creating a moment, not a movement. They're spending a lot of money to create something that's going to be really amazing for a weekend, for a day, amazing speakers, a great moment. Moments are great. You have great memories. You have great emotions. You have something to remember. All right. It's a moment. Moments are great. We have them all the time. Marriages have a lot of moments, series of moments that add up over time. But what I was looking for when it comes to the Holy Eucharist and the source and summon of our faith, one of the most unique things about us being Catholics, that we truly believe the scriptures, that it truly is his Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity, right? What I was looking for was a movement, not a moment, a movement. And I didn't really see them put things in place to carry forward this wonderful moment that they had created in Indianapolis. It's just a moment. I was looking for a movement. But at this movement, John Henry Weston, one of the granddaddies of Rad Trad Inc., Father Altman, another one of the godfathers of Rad Trad Inc., Father Jeff Fasching, who I don't really know much about. I learned some about him watching Father Stephen's video. So they had what they call the traditional Eucharistic revival that took place on Friday, July 19th in Indy. So a lot of things happen here that I have questions about. I'm sure you have questions about. Father Stephen Imbrato, he has some answers. So let's bring him on. This is David L. Gray Show, Off Code, Unscripted, on St. Dominic's Media. Hey, check out the scrolling bar. Hop over to stdominicsmedia.com as soon as you can. We would like you to become a member, either a monthly member or a lifetime member. And for a gift, we'd like to send you a free book out of our collection if you do become a monthly member. And if you become a lifetime member, you know we send you all of our books in the past, the present, in the future, indefinitely. Until your address doesn't work anymore, we get a return to sender. So please support our apostolate. We really appreciate it. But let's get into the show. We'll be right back. God bless you. Father Stephen Imbrato, welcome on to the David O. Gray Show. How you doing?
It's good to be with you, David.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you. You know, I haven't really seen you. I haven't seen you in person since there was this thing that Church Militant, I think, was doing in Baltimore. I was there for that. But it was coinciding with a march that you were involved with.
The Men's March
for Life. Yeah. And I, when I first met you, I said, man, this priest is on fire. I heard your name. I knew a little bit about you. My first time seeing you in person. And I was just really impressed about. So I got to know a little bit more about you after that. I've always been impressed with your work. I know you're retired now out of this diocese of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and you did some work for Priest for Life. But what I didn't know is that you also have been arrested 5 times. I didn't know that. And a lot of us are getting to know you more now personally through the YouTube channel, your vlog that you have over there. Talk a little bit about that. What are you doing over there on YouTube, Father?
Well, you know, I've been... Actually, my platform starts on Facebook. It was in 2018, I think. I was retired and I was celebrating I was still with Priest for Life, but I'm celebrating private masses. And I realized that celebrating private masses with no audience becomes quite mundane. And I found myself losing enthusiasm for the mass. Now, when I worked for Priests for Life, I started doing a daily live stream. And the reason why I did a daily live stream was because Pavone really wanted that to happen. And I looked at different live streams that I saw out there, and a lot of people would come on, pray the rosary. They'd pray the entire time. Other people, like, for instance, Taylor Marshall, John Henry Weston, Anthony Stein, right? These people who are part of that organization you referenced, that they really never pray at all. And I said, you know what? I like praying. As a matter of fact, David, before I get into this, I'd really like to lead everybody in a prayer, if that's okay, right? Name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, name your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, send the Holy Spirit down upon us, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come together in your name. Lord, please may your truth be on our tongue, on our lips, that we may proclaim your truth, open up the hearts and minds of those who hear us and see us, that your truth may be heard. Your truth being proclaimed and heard, Lord, may your truth be lived, and that in this time we spend together tonight and as we go forward, may we bring souls to salvation and end all of these attacks against your church on earth. And we ask this through the intercession of St. Bridget, who we memorialize today, St. Joseph, the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the angels, martyrs, and saints, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. So amen. I wanted to make sure my live stream had plenty of prayer in it. So I really commit myself to 50% prayer, but I also am opinionated. I have an opinion on everything. I admit it. I have an opinion on everything, almost everything. And so I really wanted to do different commentaries, pro-life commentary in particular, ecclesiastical commentary, social commentary, whatever happened to be going on during the day. But the mass live stream was really interesting because well before COVID, 18 months before COVID, when I was going through this dryness, I got a message from this gentleman from India, this Rajesh, I forget his last name now, who has about 10 million followers on five different social on Facebook pages. About 10 million followers, his main page. My mother, Mary, has 5.3 million followers. And he asked me to celebrate mass on that page every day. And so I did. And they've become my parish. And actually, my YouTube following has become my parish now that I'm retired. So this is what I see the people who follow me, not just my followers. They're my parish. They're my congregation. And I treat them as such. And that's why when I speak out against this organization that you reference, what is it? Rad Trad Inc.
Rad Trad Inc. Yeah, that's the term I use to describe the group of them.
Right. I'm protecting my flock. I'm warning my flock. Right. And it's interesting because I think you got to the crux of the matter, that all these things become distractions from our daily sanctification and our final exam. Our Lord revealed to me, I don't know how many years ago, that on social media, we see arguments all the time over the extraordinary form, ordinary form, over the Pope. You remember when Benedict was retired? It was one Pope, two Popes, no Pope, good Pope, bad Pope. I mean, it was crazy, right? And you know, if you want to start an argument, just put up a post on social media about how you receive communion or Medjugorje or, you know, any number of things. It'll start a brouhaha. And my response to all these it came to me, I don't think any of this is on the final exam. None of this is on the final exam.
Right.
And for instance, I guarantee all of your listeners, everyone who's watching us and listening, when you see Jesus face to face, I guarantee you this. He's not going to ask you your opinion of the Pope. All right. He's not going to ask you your opinion. He doesn't care what your opinion of the Pope is. He's going to ask you, did you pray for the Pope? Did you respect the Pope as my authority on earth, the vicar of Christ on earth, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. You know, we know what's on the final exam, the two aspects of Christ's mercy. That's what's on the final exam. Are we reaching out to the least of Christ's brethren? And are we sharing Christ's forgiveness of our sins with others? And that's it. And all these other things become distractions to those two particular points that are going to be the crux of our judgment when we see Jesus face to face.
Yeah. Why do you think there's an inclination for people to get drawn into the distractions and really making their faith complicated? Because, Father, I see this on my Facebook page. I see people, they would say things like recently that I posted something about divine mercy, and there are people in there talking about, you know, repeating a myth about, you know, well, I guess it was actual because it was a bad translation initially with St. Faustina's book, but that was cleared up. But people still wanting to bring that up. Oh, you shouldn't follow that. That's heresy. You're going to go to hell and all that stuff. And then all these other things. Father, why do you think people find themselves going down these places that will consume them with issues that are not on, as you say, the final exam?
Well, there's a lot of aspects to it. I mean, but social media is a big aspect. Everybody now can get everybody else's opinion and start forming opinions and be influenced by whoever they choose to be influenced by. Okay. And I think a lot of it is what happened post-Vatican Council II. Those people that were alive and lived through it and maybe even are still experiencing some of the remnants of it today are a little disillusioned. They're a little bit afraid, but that's fed into by this Rad Trad Inc. and those people who I think are enemies of the church. I mean, I lived through all of that. I was born in 1952. I served the traditional Latin Mass for 4 or 5 years. I left the faith my sophomore year, taught by heretics, the Christian Brothers in high school. I left the faith for 15 years, had my adult reversion around 1980. I was 30 years old. But I realized that it wasn't the Second Vatican Council. People forget, they have a short memory or their program, it's propaganda. People forget that during the time of the Second Vatican Council, we had a drug, sex, and cultural upheaval that was a tsunami. I mean, I tell people that when I graduated high school in 1970, Catholic high school, I did not know one person who did drugs, not even marijuana. 6 months later, I'm in college in New York City. I didn't know one person who wasn't doing drugs. Now, that's pretty phenomenal. What about our parents? What did that do to our parents? They were overwhelmed. So there was a lot going on. It's a very narrow thinking to say that the Second Vatican Council is the source of all of our problems. And that if we go back before the Second Vatican Council, back to those days, that our problems will be solved. Or that the ordinary form of the Mass is the source of all of our problems. If we go back to the traditional Latin Mass, all of our problems will be solved. Well, they were celebrating the traditional Latin Mass every single day. The Masons, the homosexuals, the communists, every day. It did nothing for them. The people were asleep in the pews, praying the rosary. They were having orgies every night in the priesthood. The seminaries were corrupted. The hierarchy was corrupted for 50 years. Nobody did anything. I think the Holy Spirit used the Second Vatican Council to lance the boil that had been growing under the skin. Mm. Unfortunately, didn't get completely cleaned out, and it's not completely cleaned out. JP2 and his 12 encyclicals tried to clean it out, but the Holy Spirit's at work. I mean, this is you know, when you were doing your monologue, that's all I was thinking about, is that the Holy Spirit's at work in his church. You can either allow the Holy Spirit to work in you within the confines of the church, where you have no guarantee that the Holy Spirit's with you at all. If you think that somehow the Holy Spirit is stopped working in his church, when did the Holy Spirit leave? I mean, you know, look at Cardinal Zen sent that beautiful letter to Taylor Marshall and to Vigano asking that question. When did you think the Holy Spirit left the church? Now, neither of them answered Zen's letter. Taylor Marshall didn't answer it. Why? Because they had no answer, right? They think the Holy Spirit's with them. No, the Holy Spirit is absolutely guaranteed within the context of the Catholic Church, right? The vicar of Christ on earth and the Christ's authority on earth. And there's no guarantee that apart from that, the Holy Spirit's working in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I tell, man, that's so wonderful to hear, Father. Yeah. I tell people that all the time, like the Holy Spirit is guide us towards truth, not to, and that's a work that doesn't stop. Right. But the argument is that, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit stopped guiding us towards all truth sometime before Second Vatican Council. Like right. The Holy Spirit just said, oh, I'm going to go on a vacation now. I'll be back later. Right. You guys do whatever you want to do.
What was the Holy Spirit there during the Arian heresy when 98% of the church believed some heresy about the divinity and humanity of Christ during the Crusades, during the East-West Schism, during the Reformation? I mean, it's crazy. Now, let's apply this. You know, David, you made an interesting comment about this moment versus movement. Well, yeah, they were creating this moment, but the Holy Spirit's going to work in spite of that. And what we saw in Indianapolis with those 50,000 people adoring our Lord every day and that procession on Saturday, right? Yeah. Regardless of what the intent was of the bishops, whether you're going to be trying to minimize it or whatever, you can't contain the Holy Spirit. You bring our Lord into the midst of that many people, and there's going to be grace, and there's going to be boundless grace, and the Holy Spirit's going to work. And people can complain about the music, and people can complain about the price, and people can complain that this stuff is not. Look, you remember when they criticized Mother Angelica, right, for spending $40 million on the shrine of the Blessed Sacrament in Hansville. And she said, we spent $75 million on trashy movies in Hollywood. I can't spend $40 million to worship God? I mean, this is how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit's going to work in spite of our minimalistic mindset, right? Or whether we want to cooperate him with her. He's going to work. And so he did work in Indianapolis for those 5 days. And I didn't watch 1 minute of it. I only saw short clips of different adorations. But I did hear about the beauty of the multiple rites being celebrated during the 5 days, the ordinary form, the extraordinary form, the multiple languages, right? Every people of every race and color, right? I mean, it was the epitome of the church, the manifestation of the church, the universal church, right?
Yeah. I think that's a good point. I think that was the one hole in my critique of movement versus moment was the fact that, I didn't say that how the Holy Spirit does work in spite of us. Like the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven in spite of the things that we may do, right? So, I think there's some, obviously, whatever the bishops did and everyone, you know, all the agencies and everyone cooperated with putting on a wonderful moment, what the Holy Spirit is going to do with that, we have no idea.
Right.
So
I had somebody complain. I actually had somebody complain on that video that I did about it. And we'll get into the Victory Field fiasco in a second, but I actually had somebody complain. He says, well, you know, Father, there may have been 50,000 people. From what I could see, they were mostly bishops, priests, seminarians, and religious there.
Oh, yeah. Someone else in your comments said something about the stadium, about the seats being empty or something like that. Yeah.
But wait a second. You're complaining about all the priests, all the bishops, all the religious, and all the seminarians being there? I mean, do you hear yourself? These people don't hear themselves.
Yeah,
that's right? What you're saying. They're just so wrapped up into themselves. And look at, you said it, looking for something to complain about. They are just like the Pharisees. They're looking for that gotcha moment or that gotcha phrase, right? The next thing that they can catch you on. And this is their mindset. And again, you know, one of my favorite scripture verses is Matthew chapter 9, verse 4 that I've been laying on everybody. Why do you harbor evil in your heart?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's just, and it's sad. It should drive us to our knees. It drives me to my knees every day.
Yeah, it does. It makes me sad that, and like I said, I was that guy for a while. I mean, I don't think I went too far to the extreme, but whenever Pope Francis would say something or something would come out the Vatican, I would kind of just know, oh man, this is going to be bad. Let me find a bad in this and let me make a video about it or something like that. I think there are people far more extreme than I was, obviously, but I think that's demonic. And that's one of those spirits that, can really take a hold of you. And again, you can affect other people with this.
Sure. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, you know, I have my memories on Facebook that pop up every day, and I like to go through them. I find them very fascinating. And I was looking at my memories every day now since 2013. And one day I'm bashing the Pope, and the next day I'm lauding the Pope. And, you know, and I realized how conflicted I was over the years with him. Right. And of course, you know, he was wrong on the vaccine. And and of course, the whole church was wrong on the lockdowns. And of course, I think his appointments, the Pontifical Academy of Life and Science were just off the charts. But meanwhile, while I'm having these problems, I have a friend of mine who's sending me his daily reflections. And I'm reading them and I'm saying, boy, this is really good. This is really good. This is really good. Every day it's like, this is really good. And then, of course, you have some of the other things that you get in the extracts from Radtran Inc. The Pope saying there's no hell or everybody's going, all this other stuff. And I started saying, well, wait a second now. I'm not trusting these guys at all. I said, I'm going to go read the whole thing. And every time I started reading everything, I said, well, that's not exactly what he said. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, in my homilies, I mean, and, you know, I live stream my homilies. If I said something like, you know, people say, there's no hell. There's no hell. And somebody clipped that. Of me just screaming, there's no hell, there's no hell, the whole world would think, and Barato thinks there's no hell. Whereas I said, right, well, people are saying there's no hell, and then I'm refuting it, you know, and I'm saying to myself, this is evil stuff. This is how the evil one works. And then, but the big ha-ha moment is was the Dubious that came out in October. They were publicized in October. And I want to credit Michael Lofton because, and I didn't know Michael Lofton from Adam. I did know about him as the Pope-splainer.
Right? Yeah, the Pope-splainer.
He was the Pope-splainer, the head Pope-splainer. And I didn't know anything about him. But anyway, I thought the Dubious were there's something not right here. So I just came across on YouTube him doing something about the timeline of the Dubias. And I listened to him talk about the July Dubia, the complete answers the next day, the August Dubia with partial answers presented to the Pope of the Pope's answers with yes and no request, and then they're not published. And I'm saying to myself, this is crazy. These cardinals actually did this. And of course, I'm watching Lofton, and Lofton's going line by line by line by line with every answer the Pope gave to the Dubias. And I'm saying, well, Lofton's right. The Pope's right. These guys are wrong. Shame on them for editing what the Pope said and then saying his answers are insufficient. And that's what woke me up. And then I started paying attention close attention. Then I realized, of course, they were all wrong about the synod. And I said to myself, well, the synod, they said, no, the synod, the synod is going to ordain women and take away priestly celibacy. I said, the synod can't do any of that. What are you guys talking about, right? Oh, we're going to bless homosexuals. You know, it's, and I began to realize, man, these guys are all lying. They're liars. They're liars, blatant liars. I said, this isn't Catholic. This is not Catholic. We can't be doing things like this. And since then, I've just been I've been a Pope's planer. Now I'm the priest Pope's planer. You know. So, you know, I love as part of his, other than he's very crude and foul mouth, I love Ricky Gervais, right? From The Office. Yeah. Right. I don't care. Like this, you can call me anything you want, say anything you want about me. I don't care. I'm going to speak the truth. I don't care.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for doing that, Father. And so I want to transition to, let me put a timestamp in here so people can easily find it. Give me 1 second. This is David L. Gray Show, Off Code on Off Code, Unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. Speaking with Father Stephen Imbarato here. He's a retired priest. He has does a lot of good work in the pro-life movement. He has a wonderful Facebook page, YouTube channel. You can just type his, I think he even has a Wikipedia page. Just type his name into whatever, and you can just find him, whatever he's doing. But Father, so at the Eucharist Revival, there seemed to have been, I guess, a counter Eucharistic revival being put on by LifeSite News. There was an organization that was actually putting it on. I guess LifeSite News is one of the sponsors. And some of the names that I saw were there were people like Father Altman, a father named Fasching, who you I learned from you who a little bit about him. But what shocked me when I was watching your video is that, let me just pull the clip here. Let me show my friends here and too, in some capacity, also spoke at this rally. So here is a face that a lot of us become familiar with over the past month or so. It is Carlo Maria Vigano. He is a former cardinal. Now
Archbishop, never a cardinal.
Archbishop, who has been excommunicated, excommunicated himself, really, Latte Cintia, for schism. Didn't show up for his trial date. He has been posting a lot of things on his website, but he is, as traditional Catholics, we tend to like to say there's no salvation outside the church. Well, Vigano is outside the church, Father, yet he showed up at this, in some capacity at this revival, wearing his clerics as a archbishop. Can you explain what happened here?
Yeah, big screen, big brother, right? Because he's in self-induced hiding someplace in Italy, fear of his life, supposedly. I just think it's a self-gratifying, it's a sham. I've been following Vigano from the very, very beginning, watching, and I was alerted to Vigano because he seemed to be commenting on everything and anything. You know, he actually commented 1 year. He actually sent out a letter about the Super Bowl. I thought he was going to pick sides, but I started thinking, you know what, who is this guy, right? He's, you know, nobody's ever threatened his life. He doesn't seem threatened. He's in self-induced exile. So I started watching him carefully. And then, of course, he started every day, daily bashing of the Pope. And then he called the Pope illegitimate, a usurper, that he was illegitimately elected. And then he started talking about the invalidity of the ordinary form of the Mass in the Second Vatican Council, which, interestingly enough, his entire 50 years as a prelate in the Catholic Church, he only celebrated the ordinary form of the Mass. It wasn't until after he retired that I guess he got into the traditional Latin Mass. So he went down what I call Altman Road, right? And but 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 he dug himself a cliff. And then, of course, after he, like I said, challenged the validity of the Second Vatican Council, the ordinary form of the Mass, and the legitimacy of the Pope, then I found out that he reconsecrated himself under this Bishop Williamson, who's a schismatic bishop, who even the SSPX disavowed. They threw him out of the SSPX. He's actually a criminal who was found guilty of Holocaust denial in Germany, and he reconsecrated Vigano as a bishop in this resistance, the schismatic sect. That was right around the time Vigano started his own illegitimate seminary, said he was going to ordain his own priest illegitimately. And then during that period of time, he told people they need to take sides. Taylor Marshall actually was my source for many of these things, me being very critical of Taylor Marshall, but Taylor Marshall propping up Vigano would be telling the world about these things, not about the reconsecration. He avoided that. But Vigano calling the people to take sides, and then he called for the arrest of the Pope, right? And so I knew that he was a schismatic, Sedevacantist schismatic. I knew that he had excommunicated himself. I felt that the excommunication had to be coming, and him being declared a schismatic, and that's exactly what happened. And other people predicted it too, because if you're paying attention, that's where he was going. So anyway, let's talk about this alternative Eucharistic revival that was a one-day Eucharistic revival during the Indianapolis U.S. National Eucharistic Revival put on by the USCCB. So John Henry Weston and LifeSite News sponsored this. They originally had Doug Berry, who, again, I found out about this revival because Doug Berry works with us on the National Rosary Rally in Washington, D.C., Rosary Coast to Coast. I'm part of the organizing team for that. We had some concerns about Doug going. Well, it turns out Doug didn't make it there. Praise God, work of the Holy Spirit. But you had Altman paving Altman Road. But on the itinerary, which I posted, there was no mention of Vigano. None whatsoever. There was a Eucharistic surprise. The Eucharistic surprise was supposed to be that they were going to do a Eucharistic procession around Lucas Oil Stadium. Yet John Henry Weston said that his revival was not in opposition or contra the Eucharistic revival in Lucas Oil Stadium, and that he only did it because there were people who couldn't afford to go to the Eucharistic revival in Lucas Oil Stadium. Now, to me, those were just blatant lies. He put together what was absolutely in opposition, his own traditional Pope bashing, church bashing. And I say, look, they're beyond Pope bashing. They're church bashers. They all reject the last 50 years of the church. And I'm sorry. All right. This is an affront to the church, and it should upset everyone, because they're basically saying that the Holy Spirit left the church. I don't know whether it was at the beginning of the Vatican Council, the middle of the Vatican Council, the end of the Vatican. I don't know. Right. But the Holy Spirit in their mind is gone, has left, and is somehow with them. Now, Vigano's never mentioned in the itinerary. So imagine somebody going to this event because they couldn't afford the Lucas Oil event. And they took John Henry Weston at his word, right? And they don't know too much about fashion. They don't know too much about Altman. They follow LifeSite News because of his pro-life coverage, which is very, very good and very, very comprehensive. And then all of a sudden, Vigano shows up on the big screen, Big Brother, I call it, right? And he starts spouting his nonsense. And imagine being there and saying, wait a minute, this guy was just excommunicated, wasn't he? Why is he here? I mean, isn't that really a manipulation of the people who went, not telling them ahead of time that this guy was going to be on the big screen preaching to the people? I just find that insidious, just horribly insidious. And then Vigano, in his talk, and again, one of my followers, because I don't read Vigano's stuff. I don't read his stuff. I listen to what Taylor Marshall and other people talk about as far as Vigano. But somebody had said, yeah, and then he's talking about Mel Gibson, praising Mel Gibson. Well, then I went to read his stuff. I went and read it all. And sure enough, here he is, Mel Gibson, church basher, pope basher, ordinary form of the, you know, another schismatic who's living with his girlfriend of 10 years, has a child with her, right? He's outside the church. Nobody cares about his more immoral proclivities. It's bizarre. It's like bizarro world, right? And it's interesting, I think, that, and what scares me the most, David, is how minimalistic people are, how easily they just fluff off the whole schismatic Sedevacantist excommunication thing. Like, it's no big deal. I stand with Vigano, right? LifeSite News had the petition. I stand with Vigano. There are people who follow me and say, well, I stand with Vigano. The guy is excommunicated. If you stand with Vigano, he's a schismatic, formal schismatic. You stand with Vigano, you're in material schism. You're risking your salvation. This is not like choosing teams in the World Cup. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not like having an argument over your favorite flavor of ice cream. This is crazy. And of course, it is of the evil one. And it scares me to no end.
Yeah. And so if it wasn't about what John Henry Weston said was about, that, oh, this is, you know, some people can't afford the tickets or hotel room, so we're just going to have a one-day event outside of town in this field. Everyone just come out. You know, I guess this is some sort of charity, you know, that we're offering here. And there's a group by the name of that was actually Corpus Christi for Unity and Peace. All right. They describe themselves as a Christ-centered community united in lasting peace. So it seems to be some sort of relationship between LifeSite News and this group. But Father, if it wasn't about why John Henry Weston said it was about, then what's really going on here? Why have people come out to this counter event? Hide the fact that a schismatic was going to be giving one of the talks here and just foist him on the people and really do spiritual harm. What are they trying to accomplish here?
I don't know the motivation. I just think that they, I mean, let me put it in this context, David. To me, the story of the raising of Lazarus is mind-boggling, right? I mean, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, first of all, the story starts with, you know, Jesus found out, right, from messengers that his friend Lazarus, who he loved, right, was dying. And it says, scripture says, he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus very much. So he stayed where he was for a few days, right? Why? Because he wanted to do a great miracle. Even says it. I want to perform a great miracle. He didn't want to cure Lazarus. Why? Because he wanted to break the hearts of the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, who he knew would be there. And of course, he'd been dead 4 days. They even said that he's going to stink. He's going to stink, right? They're ridiculing him, right? He's been dead 4 days. He raises Lazarus from the dead. What was the response of the Pharisees? I think it's in John. I think the raising of Lazarus is what, chapter 11? I think it's chapter 13 or 14, all right? The Jews, the response of the Pharisees is, oh, now we're going to have to kill Lazarus and Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? How do you explain that? How do you explain that hardness of heart? How do you explain that darkness? Not one of them said, wait a second. He raised Lazarus from the guy was stinking dead. 4 days. We were there. We saw it. and we want to kill him? This is crazy, right? So it's this pharisaical mindset. I have to believe that they are so, they're so committed to their erroneous ways, their dark yes. ways, that now they just have to keep reaffirming what they've been doing all along. And I always say, bashing the Pope or being a chronic critic of the Pope means never having to say, I'm sorry, because they never apologize for anything, because they don't, they've so intellectualized their sin, their animus towards the Pope and the Church, that they don't feel that they can do anything wrong, that anything they do is wrong. When they were all wrong about the synod, what was the response? Oh, they're just setting us up for next year. It's all going to come next year, right? They're sandbagging us, right? I mean, yeah. Hey, look at this last document, right? For a month, they're telling us, oh, the Pope's going to come out in July on the anniversary of these documents and finally suppress the entire Latin Mass, right? The document never came out, right? Well, instead of admitting that they were wrong, they said, oh, it's because we put up, you know, opposition to it, right? And I mean, meanwhile, the Pope turns around and grants the Diocese of Arlington a 2-year extension to be able to celebrate the traditional Latin Mass. They're wrong time and time and time again, and they won't admit it. And the Catholic Identity Christ Conference.
I actually like the slip of the tongue there. Catholic Identity Crisis.
It is a Catholic Identity Crisis. That's what we have. It's a crisis of the heart. And the Holy Father says it all the time. Yeah. Right. And the other thing I tell these people is, this is all about the American Church and the American influence church. I've been to Africa 3 times. Last year, I spent a month in Africa. And, you know, the Pope's picture is on every taxi, bus. I mean, they love the Pope. You mentioned the Pope, they love the Pope, right? And of course, they lied about even fiducia supplicans when the bishops of Africa said, well, we're not going to be blessing any homosexual individuals, never mind their relationship. They weren't defined a document. That's why the Pope and Fernandez said, okay, fine, no problem. That's your prerogative. Right. We're not forcing you to bless anyone you don't want to bless. We're just telling you can't bless any sinful relationships. Right. I had no problem with that document the day I read it. Right. The lay people, though, who did the Pharisees whip up into a frenzy? The lay people who are never going to be in a situation where they have to ever give a blessing. Right. Yeah. No lay person's ever going to have to give a blessing that comes into the context of fiducia supplicans, yet they're the ones who are all revved up over it. It's diabolical, right? It really is.
Some of my people say, Father, you're being divisive. And I said, well, wait a second. I said, then you just got done telling John Henry Weston, Taylor Marshall, Anthony Stein, Michael Matt, all right, that they're being divisive. And now you can definitely say that in opposition to them, I'm being divisive. But if you haven't said that they're being divisive, you surely can't come to me and tell me I'm divisive, but I'm just warning the people about them being divisive.
Yeah, because all they're doing, I find, is stirring up anger. I mean, it's sort of like what you kind of see on, you know, mainstream news. They make a lot more money off of it than rad trading does. But the goal is to make people angry.
Right.
And then find something else to make them angry about. Oh, and then just be angry about this. And it happens every other week. They're going to tell you something to be angry about. Now, right. I agree with you, Father. I think there are times that, you know, critiques are fair. You know, like fiducia supplicans, I always said, was that document even necessary? Was that like a no error foul? Like,
yes.
See, I wouldn't agree, because I think priests could already bless people.
Trad Rad Inc. was screaming for it. Trad Rad Inc. was saying, what are you going to do about the Germans? What are you going to do? Have the dubia. Fiducia supplicans was just the complete full answer to one of the dubia questions that the cardinals asked the Pope twice. Right? So they were
fiducia. Yeah, fiducia supplicans never happens if those cardinals didn't force the Pope's hand. I said that when it exactly. happened. This was on Burke. And everybody got mad at me.
Exactly.
And, you know, why are you blaming Burke? This is on him.
You're right. Nope.
If you never made that document, you never made that document public, then this fiducia supplicans never becomes. I don't think it becomes a document. I don't know.
I agree with you, David. That's why I'm saying that they came out with fiducia supplicans because the mob was demanding it.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Good point. And I want to take a look at this letter too, Father, because I mean, so. Should a schismatic appear in public dressed as an archbishop?
Well, no, of course not. But Sanborn does, and the SSPX do, and although who knows what their situation. I'm so confused about SSPX. Whether I just call them they're irregular. I don't know. But yes. Sanborn is a Sedevacantist schismatic. And he's in his clerics all the time, and he has an Altus Christus, Alta Ecclesia. But isn't it interesting, you know? And you want to look? We'll look at what he has to say or the document. What do you want to look at? But isn't it interesting that you have Vigano, who has created his own church? SSPX is in disagreement with Vigano. Sanborn is in disagreement with the SSPX and Vigano, and Williamson, I guess, is okay with Vigano. I mean, they can't agree amongst themselves. It's schismatic.
Are these Protestants? Protestants?
Bingo, right? It's Protestantism all, you know, it's just, right? In the 17 years after the thesis in Wittenberg, there was four major schisms in Protestantism. It didn't take 17 years for these guys to come up with four major schisms. It's funny.
That's pretty funny. Oh, that's pretty funny. I never even thought about that. That's hilarious. Oh, yeah. And so, Father, and so, again, not far from here, there's 50,000 Catholics or so, of some of them who may not agree with each other, right? Because you did see at the Eucharistic revival, all the bishops were there, even people like Cardinal Gregory was there from DC. A lot of people who are center-right Catholics would be like, I don't know about. There are a lot of people who we say are. Seem to be on the homophile side, do a lot of weird things side. But so everyone was there. It was truly Catholic. It was the universal church, at least for, you know, mostly North American Catholics, largely American Catholics. So everyone was there. But not far away from there, rather than John Henry Weston and LifeSite News saying, hey, I know it's expensive, but we're going to sponsor you. We're going to give scholarships for people to go who are can't afford it. We're going to raise some money for that. But rather, they spend their money on this revival and give free lunch, right? So, okay. Now, as you said, while they're there, this surprise video shows up with this Vigano who no one's seen in public offer mass in a very long time. And then he starts in this speech. And in this section here, it says, a few days ago, the Roman Sanhedrin that presents itself as the supreme tribunal of the church declared to me to be in schism and excommunicated. This authoritarian decision has once again made evident the extraneousness of the Bergoglian church to the true church of Christ. So he makes this distinction between what he calls a Bergoglian church, what I don't know what that is, and the true church, which I guess he's the Pope of, whose authority it usurps in order to intentionally destroy it. They are false shepherds against whom the Lord, I should say, probably warns us. And so this, he'll get to the Mel Gibson part, as you say, but this is how the speech opens, in opposition to the church that is there not far away at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, what does John Henry Weston have to say about that, right? I mean, and John Henry Weston, he has the audacity to say, well, I just report what Vigano says. Well, no, that's a lie. I mean, everybody can see that you're going beyond reporting. You're creating an audience for him and then springing him on the audience that you've created. So, you know, I always say, you know, Carlo Maria Vigano. I guess Bishop Sanborn would have an issue with what you're saying there, right? And
who's talking about Sanborn? What's Sanborn? Who is Sanborn, Father?
Look him up, David. All right, Bishop Sanborn. He's got a schismatic. He's a sedevacantist schismatic church. He's got a seminary in Pennsylvania, and he's got parishes all over. At least some in Florida, some in the southeast. But look him up. He's an interesting guy. Far more reasonable than Vigano. Vigano's lost his mind. I mean, you can see that he's not well. He's not right. But I have to believe that he's gone into hiding from the very beginning because he knew that this is where he wanted to go. He's setting himself up as the Pope of Avignon, right? I mean, anti-popes of Avignon, right? He is the Pope in exile. That's what he's trying to set himself up as. But it's insane. It just really is absolutely insane to think that the Holy Spirit is now with him, it really is mind-boggling that John Henry Weston, who I considered a friend for years, now I consider him an enemy of the church. Father Altman, again, you saw he went from being reasonable to unreasonable to out of control. I mean, you could see the progression in his mental and emotional breakdown, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I called it, Altman Road. I said I made this visual, Altman Road. The end of Altman Road is Vigano Cliff, right? And John Henry Weston's bringing everybody down to the edge of the cliff, right? And he's trying to push them off, right? Yeah. Taylor Marshall, Anthony Stein, Michael Matt, right? And there's plenty others. I'm glad there are people out there exposing them. I'm not afraid to name names. I'll continue to name names because the people who want to do what's right and want to live a sanctified life, want to aspire to living as saints here on earth and dying as saints, need to be warned about these people. And I even tell the people who follow me, don't get wrapped up in this stuff the way I am. You've been warned. Now do what you need to do, right, to get yourself to heaven, right? That's it. That's it. We need to know what our grace is. And I truly believe my grace, again, being where you were on the other side, being enlightened by our Lord, now I believe that apart from my pro-life activism and apart from the other things that our Lord has me do, he wants me to warn the people as a priest, right? There are lay people out there, you know, doing some David Armstrong, right? Armstrong,
yes.
Lofton, but they're lay people, right? And I think that the Pope-splainers, and imagine if we weren't all Pope-splainers, right? What Moses, when they came to Moses and complained about the couple of dudes that were prophesying in Moses' name, in Christ's name, right? Who he had not laid hands on. And he said, well, what if I wish everybody would do that, right? But we should all be Pope-splainers. We should all be defending the Pope, right? We should all be giving the Pope the benefit of the doubt. And he's not impeccable. Nobody's saying he's impeccable. This whole idea that we expect the Pope to be impeccable. St. John Paul II, oh, he did this, he did that. Look at his life. He's not impeccable. St. Francis wasn't impeccable. St. Paul wasn't impeccable. St. Peter wasn't impeccable. I mean, we've really lost our minds. We really have.
Yeah. And there's going to be another Pope. I mean, God willing, I don't know. I mean, this whole thing could end tomorrow. But, you know, after Francis, there's going to be another Pope, and there may be another Pope. And so I think sometimes our face is just too close to the mosaic. We have to step back and realize, and I think that's a lot of people's problem, Father, in our little finite life. I think we just want to lean on our own understanding to figure things out rather than trust the authority of the church, trust God, trust the Holy Trinity, and live just a simple life of faith and trust.
Right.
But as you say, people like Sanborn, people now like Alt, Vigano, they don't go away in a sense. If Vigano goes and consecrates a bishop, gives life to his or death to his new church, we have to deal with this for a very long time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, imagine if you're the next Pope. Are these guys, they've set themselves up as judge, jury, executioners from day one? The next Pope's going to come out on the balcony, and these guys are going to start scrutinizing him from day one. Everything he says, everything he does. I just did a video the other day. It's being posted on social media on my YouTube, I think, tonight, right? Who do we think we are? Who do we really? And that's what our Lord said to me in October. He says, who do you think you are? Are you holier than the Pope? Are you smarter than the Pope? Is the Holy Spirit more with you than the Pope? Who do you think you are? Right?
It
goes back to Jesus saying to his apostles, who do the people say that I am? And all the people came up with different answers, and then all the answers were wrong. That should be, I think, a slap upside the head to our Christian brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, right? Personal interpretation of Jesus is going to come up with different answers, and they're all going to be wrong. Well, likewise, that's what's happening now in the church. When we think we can figure this out ourselves, exactly what you're just saying, we're going to come up short. We're going to come up with different answers, different interpretations, and we're all going to be wrong.
And I really think these are enemies of Christ in his church. I think these are the people who Christ would say, you know, why are you persecuting me? Because when you lead people astray, you're nothing but a false shepherd. You're stealing the Lord's sheep. I think there's a price to pay for that. And so there's another fella part that's part of the Rad Trad Inc. I think you named another one. I made a few videos about him, Kennedy Hall. There's this, there's some people in the SSPX who like to say that, it's sort of Gnostic in a sense. Like you got to get to SPX for Sunday Mass to fulfill your Sunday obligation. If you don't get to this type of Mass, then you didn't fulfill your Sunday obligation. And he likes to say it on his channel that the Novus Ordo Mass is a near occasion to sin, which makes me angry like nothing else. I mean, I just want to punch somebody in the neck for saying that. That the Holy Mass is a near occasion of sin. That pisses me off. And so I think we have to warn people. We have to call these people out. And if we don't, we aren't these type of watchmen that warn people of danger, warn people of false shepherds, warn people of people trying to lead them to hell, then I think that's on us. I think if you know something, you have to share something, right, Father?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's understanding, you know, what is your grace? And so, you know, it's not just me warning or us warning the flock about these false shepherds, but also directing them to what they need to do. And that's why I just really try to keep things simple and get the people who follow me to just focus on the final exam, right? Just focus on the final exam. Let these Marian apparitions, these end times, right? This is another whole thing we could get into. People looking for the sign of the times, the end times, it's the end times, the 3 days of darkness, the illumination of conscience, and all this. I say, look it. Here's the deal. If you're not in a state of grace, get in a state of grace. If you're in a state of grace, stay in a state of grace. If you're in a state of grace, do all things for the praise, honor, and glory of God, and do as much spiritual and corporal works of mercy you can for the reparation of all sins committed against the mystical body of Christ. And then be at peace. Be at peace. Yeah. That's it. Don't worry about the 3 days of darkness. Don't worry about, you know, the beeswax candles. Don't worry about the illumination of God. Don't worry about this stuff. Be in a state of grace. Stay in the grace. Do reparation for your sins and all sins against the mystical body of Christ, right? Corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And be at peace. Be at peace.
Yeah. Father, let's get to some questions. And if you guys have any questions for Father Stephen Imbrato, please post them in the comments. We got a couple more minutes with Father, and let me put a timestamp here. This is the David O. Gray Show, Off Code and Unscripted. We've been talking about enemies of the church, but in particular about at the Eucharistic Revival this past weekend, there was a counter revival hosted by John Henry Weston and some other people. Surprise speaker at the thing was Carla Maria Vigano, who is a schismatic excommunicated from the church. Why is he speaking to Catholics about anything? So Father Stephen has been here enlightening us, really pointing us in the right direction about who these people are, how we got to avoid them, why we need to avoid them, and really just how to just live a simple life and really be concerned about the final exam, the last four things. I'm taking your comments now. For Father, if you have any comments, questions, please drop them in the comment box over here. Metanoia said, it's pretty sad John Henry Weston has drunk the Vigano Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And one can still have a balanced and concerned acceptance and understanding of certain prophecies by saints and mystics without becoming schismatic.
You want me to answer that?
Oh, yeah. What's your, if you have any thoughts about what she said.
You know, again, the whole, the mystics, the prophets and all, I just don't, you know, Jesus Christ says, I am who am. And I think we need to live in the eternal present. And people come to me and say, I've been given spiritual direction. I've only been a priest. Well, it'll be 20 years next year. But even I was given spiritual directions on a late life vocation when I was a deacon. And even though they said I wasn't supposed to, so I did it informally. But, you know, stay in the eternal present. Stay in the presence of Jesus. That's why this Eucharistic revival is so important, because the Eucharist is the eternal present. It is being in the presence, the true presence, the real presence, the physical presence of Jesus, right? I am who am. And that's why I'm not into, you know, the mystics, what the mystics said and what they prophesized and all this stuff. I just, because it becomes a distraction, right? The signs, the end times, this is a sign, that is a sign. I mean, that's anti-biblical anyway. I truly believe that Jesus, that Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the apocalypse, the reason why it's so confusing, the reason why nobody's ever been able to completely interpret it, certain parts of it, yes, all right, but completely interpret Revelation, impossible. Yeah. Why? Because I think God did not want people trying to figure out day in and day out what's going to happen at the end, right? Because he doesn't want us to worry about that. He wants us to stay in the eternal present, give the past up to Christ's mercy, give the future up to his divine providence, and stay in the present. I tell people, don't look any further into the future. And of course, you have to look at tomorrow, make some plans for tomorrow, but don't look any further into the future than you can do and still maintain your peace. Yeah. And so many people are, look, what's going to happen? And that the anxiety, and our Lord spoke about this so eloquently and over and over and over again, stay in the eternal present. Let's not worry about what people have said in the past, other than what's in scripture. And of course, what some of the great saints have said to solidify scripture, but scripture has it all. The church has it all. Stay in the eternal present. That's why the Eucharist is the source and summit of our lives.
That was one of the most refreshing things about when I became a Catholic, was that, you know, when I was a Protestant, I had to figure that stuff out, you know, and right. I had to figure out Revelation. I had to figure out everything Paul was saying. Right. But when I became a Catholic, I encountered this word called mystery, right? Right. As a Catholic, there could be mystery, and mystery is beautiful. And I don't have to figure everything out. I could just rest in the finished work of Christ and do what I'm called to do. And I'll get to the end. If I work out my salvation and I do everything, and then I practice my faith as believe what the church teaches, then hopefully I'll get to that destination. And then what was a mystery will be revealed in the glory of God. And then I'll just be in his presence. And, you know, the Catholicism just gave me a better path than Protestantism, where I had to figure everything out.
That's scary.
I think that's where maybe that's crept into our faith. That whole thing. And we don't want to just be okay with mystery.
No, there's a Protestantism that's infiltrated the Catholic Church. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And Java says, thanks for staying on top of these voices of the visionary, no better than James Martin. Yeah, that's a good perspective. There's two sides of a coin.
It is. Look at the Catholic Church is the rich middle way between excess and defect. That's what St. Thomas Aquinas. You're a Dominican, David. You know this. Aquinas has it right? The virtue. Yeah. The Catholic Church, the rich middle way between excess and defect. So you can fall off the cliff on the left. You can fall off the cliff on the right. Right. You need to stay right in the rich middle way. That's the fullness of truth. That's the Catholic faith.
Messenger of Faith says, Rad Trad Inc. have no accountability except to themselves.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Never having to say, I'm sorry.
And I think that's part of the problem. And you don't see, and it's interesting that Cardinal Zinn, you know, he wrote that letter to Michael Lofton.
That's pretty odd.
That's really interesting that, you know, a cardinal jumping into YouTube. It's weird. But I don't see that same thing being hurled, you know, that's coming against Rad Trad Inc. from. So we appreciate the work you're doing, Father, you know, as one of our priests, the ordained priests, stepping into this fray.
Did you see Zen's letter to Marshall and Vigano?
I did not see that. Was that recent years?
I'll have to get that to you. And if you compare the two letters, Zen to Marshall and Vigano, and Zen's letter to Lofton, I can't believe that it's the same author, and I'm not into conspiracies and everything else, but I just have a hard time believing that Zen wrote that letter to Lofton. But Michael responded that's the difference. Michael responded. Michael.
That's what you're saying. That's a good point. That's fair.
Michael takes things personally. And I get it. I mean, he's up against a lot of stuff, takes things personally, but he responded. Marshall and Vigano did not respond to Zen's letter to them. And I thought that was very, very interesting. But I'll get you, when you send me the link to this podcast, I'll email you the Zen's letter.
Yeah. All right, Father. Appreciate all, man. There's a lot of comments over here. A lot of you just thanking Father, piggybacking off of a lot of what he said. Appreciate everyone coming in. Thanks, Brianna and Colin and Lisa and Metanoia and David. And I feel like Mr. Rogers right now shouting everybody's name. But I appreciate all the comments you guys put in here. So. And Father, thanks again for coming on. And
I'd like to give everybody a blessing, David, if that's okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Go out into the world today, my friends, and give them heaven.
Amen. That was the best blessing, Father. Thanks again. And we'll see you soon. Everybody, make sure you hop over to Father Imbrado's, make his YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe. And let me know if you want Father to come back on here, talk about something else. He has a lot to say, a lot to talk about. And we'll be happy to have you back on, Father.
Yeah, we need to talk about your stance on voting, David.
Well, you know, I live in Germany, so, you know.
Oh, you live in Germany?
Yeah, I live in Germany.
Oh, so. Well, then forget it. Okay, never mind.
No, I mean, I always can mail an absentee ballot to the state of Illinois. And
got to vote against these abortion referendums.
Yeah.
If nothing else, you got to vote against them.
Yeah. I would like to say, I would say that my critique of voting for presidents is different than my critique for voting on local issues.
Yeah.
Where I think they definitely do matter. School boards and all that stuff. So
well, you got to vote for against these abortion. I'm doing a video now on how it's a mortal sin to either vote for these abortion referendums or failing to vote for these against these abortion referendums, right? So if you vote,
I mean, yes, I mean, so one time, I mean, when back when we were doing when Roe versus Wade was in place, right? We were voting for politicians who were either lying to us or telling us the truth.
Right.
But now it's different. We have a direct. I mean, it's there. Single, I mean, you have
intrinsic evil.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there. I mean, you have a choice. You can participate or not participate, though. So, yeah.
But anyway, past my bedtime, David, I got to go.
All right. God bless, Father.
I love you, brother. Thank you. Thank you.